All right, praise God. Well, I, you know, as is not usually my nature, I'm going to sit down. How's that? I feel good. Hey, I do want to really thank Bobby and Allison and John and Holly for putting up with us this weekend. We get to come here usually one weekend a year, and I have the youth rally. I guess this is our maybe third year we've done this now, second or third, I'm not sure. But it's just great to be able. It's great to have family, isn't it? Just to go places and know that there are good people there that are ready to receive you, and feed you, and put up with you, and listen to you snore all night. And it's just great. And I didn't mind Bobby snoring at all. I really didn't. It was fine. But I just want to really thank you guys for, and Wolka Church. You guys have been such friends to us and to our family. My wife's not here. My wife is in at home. I've been telling the story all weekend, but we had a tree fall on our house 2 weeks ago. We had those bad, I don't know, maybe you had some wind storms here about that same time, but we had some tornadoes coming through our area, which is unusual because we got mountains over there where we're at. So we don't get a whole lot of tornadoes, but when they come through, you know, they tend to freak everybody out. So we got freaked out. So my wife's calling me, you know, we had a tree fall in the kitchen, and so there's water pouring in the kitchen, and she calls me on the phone, she says, there's water pouring in the kitchen, we got it. And I'm at work, and things were so bad that were making us, you know, shelter in place at work. So we were, you know, had things closed, and we were stuck in the, you know, hiding in bathtubs, that kind of thing. And then she said, you got to come home. I said, I can't come home, we're sheltered in place. That was pretty much our conversation. So, but thanks be to God. Like a good neighbor, State Farm was there. So she's home overseeing the rebuilding of our home. And sad she couldn't be with us this weekend. She loves all of you. And she wanted me to express that love to you as well. Amen. Amen. So as I told Pastor Bob this morning, I do have three sermons. And I've been asking the Lord, God, what do you want to say? And the one thing that ties all of these three sermons together is this idea of suffering. And I don't know why the Lord wants me to talk to you about suffering today. Anybody would like to tell me, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But God has a word for you today, I believe, to encourage you that what you go through has a purpose. It has a purpose. Amen? And so I think I'll go with this one. I like this one here. I'll let you decide, okay? So here are the titles of the three sermons. The first one is called Groaning for the Goal. Good title, right? The next one is called Move On. Like that? All right. The third one is called A Snake is Just a Snake. I might have done the snake one here before, actually. There we go. I don't remember if I did. That's why I wasn't sure about that. Okay. Now we're going to groan for the goal. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans, one of the great treatises of faith in the Bible. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll go to verse 18. It's just good to break bread, isn't it? I just love talking about the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, I would real quick, we just need to stop and consider for a second. Why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? You know, some of you may say, well, Lord, it's the man you gave me. That's why I suffer. Why do we suffer? Well, I want you to understand that there are some natural causes of your suffering, and there are some supernatural causes for suffering. You know, listen, we all understand that we live on planet Earth, right? Where are you? Planet Earth. And planet Earth, we understand, is a place that has been corrupted, has it not? Remember when Adam and Eve and the fruit and all that stuff, and Genesis 3, God begins to proclaim to Adam and to Eve and curses, things that have happened as a result of our disobedience. And I say our because we all share in Adam's disobedience, Adam and Eve's disobedience, don't we? So as a result of that, you know, God said, you know, Adam, as a result of what you did, it's by the sweat of your brow that you will toil the land and to feed your family. And Eve, it's, you know, pain and childbirth and all that stuff. And so there are things that we go through that are just part of the natural world that we live in, this world of sin. Paul said in Romans 5:12, he said, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. So because of that, we all kind of have this common denominator among us. We live in a sinful world. And because of that, Jesus said, hey, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So we all get it. So we all stub our toes, right? We all hit our thumbs with a hammer. We all, like Nate did yesterday at the youth rally, fall and skin yourself up head to toe. I don't know how you did it, brother, but God bless you. You have a gift. You really do. Now, part of this, these natural causes of our suffering, not only is it you know, the sinful world, but there's also a law of sowing and reaping that's involved. Because sometimes we suffer because that's what we sowed. Sometimes we've planted seeds that come back that we got to reap later on, right? And God help us, but some, you know, that happens sometimes. And so there's a law involved with that. If you're going to sow discontent, you're going to live a discontented life. If you sow hatred and discord, you're going to reap hatred and discord. It's going to cause suffering in your life. So that's part of the natural law that we all live in, right? Natural causes of suffering. But there's also, we got to acknowledge, there are some supernatural reasons why we may suffer as well. Okay? How many of you know the devil don't like you? Nudge your neighbor and tell him the devil doesn't like him. That's right. Don't like me either. Doesn't like you. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil is the god of this age. He tells us, or John tells us in 1 John 5:19, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. All right? So we're sort of living in the devil's playground at the moment. I say at the moment because there is hope to this story. So we know that Satan, you know, Satan afflicted Job. Satan possessed the Gadarene. Satan bound a woman for 18 years that Jesus ended up healing. Satan provided a thorn in Paul's flesh, he said, to torment him. So we know that the devil's at work, okay? And sometimes when you are trying to do what the Lord has called you to do, the devil says, I don't want you to do it. And so he'll cause some discomfort in your life. Amen? How many of you have felt that kind of discomfort before? All right, the devil's coming against you. And we can expect that the intensity of the devil's attack against you is going to be commensurate with the intensity of your warfare against him. You bother him, he's going to bother you. You move into his territory, he's gonna move into yours, or try to. So there are those supernatural. Now, here's the deal. Whether it's natural cause of your suffering, you stubbed your toe, you hit your nail, you know, all that kind of stuff, or whether it's supernatural cause, the devil is attacking you, here's what we know. God can use it. He can use it. He is the great recycler. God takes all your lemons and makes lemonade. He truly does. All things work together, right? For good. For good. And so, you know, what does God do with these sufferings of ours? How does he work? Well, sometimes he will, like in the book of Judges, sometimes he'll use those sufferings to bring us back. You know, maybe we wandered off the path a little bit. Maybe we got our eyes off of him. And he'll use a little discomfort to get you back on there. Kind of like a shepherd whacks a sheep with his staff to get him back on the path, right? Whap. God will use that to right our ship. Sometimes God will use sufferings to test us, test our faith. right? How's he going to hold up under this? Sometimes God will use suffering to help us grow in our character. Remember, the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Sometimes he'll use it so that we can encourage others. Sometimes he'll make us walk a hard path so that the next person that comes down that path, we can help shepherd them through it. Right? Sometimes he uses those sufferings to further the cause of his plan of redemption. Remember Joseph? Remember Joseph? Thrown in a pit, sold into slavery. Didn't look good for him, did it? But yet God used Joseph to rescue the entire nation of Israel. So God is the great recycler. He takes all of this stuff, natural or supernatural. None of it catches him off guard. He uses it to accomplish his will. All right, so let's go back to Romans for a second then. Romans 8, 18. So I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, we have to understand that we have to get then and now in our heads, okay? Now and then. Now, Christ has conquered the spiritual realm. Death, hell, and the grave, right? Belongs to him. He's got the keys. Put them in his pocket, all right? Says, Satan, you can't have these keys anymore. They belong to me. You know what? I can't sit. I am physically impossible for me to sit while I preach. All right? So Christ has conquered the spirit realm. Now, then, at a date in the future, he will fully conquer the natural realm. New heaven, new earth, right? And so this devil's sandbox that we've been playing in, God will take the sandbox away from Satan too. And he'll replace it with a new one. One that is not corrupted. Hallelujah. One that is not full of pain and suffering and sin and the effects of sin. One that is pure and holy, and that is the whole plan of redemption. He didn't just come to save you and I, as glorious as that is. He came to redeem all of creation. And so Paul tells us that the whole creation was subjected to frustration, and the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. The earth is going to know the same freedom we know. Wow. Think about that. So God's plan of redemption is so much larger than we think it is. All right? So then and now. Now, until then, we live in this sort of in-between space. We live in between as those whose salvation is now, but not yet. Right? Now, but not yet. He has given us a deposit. He's given us a guarantee. He's put a little heaven in us. And I'll tell you, a little heaven will do you. A little heaven's pretty good. A little heaven will carry you through. But it's not the fullness yet. Wow, you understand that? The glory that we walk in now, the glory, the power of the Holy Spirit that changed your life, that completely reversed who you are and made you into the glorious reflection of Christ that you are right now, that power isn't even comparable to what God's going to do. Woo! He gave us a little taste. He gave us a little taste. And that taste is pretty good. But it's not even close to what he's getting ready to do. So we live in that in-between space. Now but not yet. There is a glory that will be revealed in us, as Paul just said. All right? And so because of that, in verse 22, we get this. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. How many of you are ready for a new body? A new body. A new body. A glorified body. All right? So we are, so all creation groans. See, creation, Paul tells us, has been subjected to frustration. This frustration, the word frustration means emptiness or purposelessness. Creation has been groaning because it doesn't know its purpose, or its purpose has been corrupted. There was a God made the heavens and the earth for a reason. There's a purpose in it. But because of sin, that purpose has been corrupted. So now, you know, it's like when you were growing up and you want to be a fireman. You want to be a fire. All you want to be is a fireman. Every fire truck you see, I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a fireman. Yeah, I'm going to be a fireman. Someday I'm going to be a fireman. Look at it for woo-hoo. Put the hat on and the boots. I want to be a fireman. And then you grow up and finally you're old enough to be a fireman. And, you know, you take a fireman's test. I don't even know if they take a test. But you take a fireman's test and they tell you you can't be a fireman. Like, the existential crisis that creates in your life. I can't be what I've always wanted to be. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've walked through a moment in your life like that where you thought for sure, man, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to be. And then suddenly life takes a left turn and you don't. That's not where you end up. Been there? What do you do? God screwed up? You're going to get mad at God, you so-and-so. What'd you do to me? I was going to be this, and then you made it that. Well, that is exactly the corruption of our world. God created the world for a purpose. He created the world to be here for us. He created the world to reflect His glory, and He created us to be in the world, to live in the world, to enjoy this world that He made. But sin has corrupted it. Sin is the left turn. Sin made it so that disobedience, now the world and we're not in sync anymore. We're not living the way we were intended to live. And so all creation groans in frustration. Ah! You've heard this groan. If you have teenagers, you've heard this groan. Ah! Come on, time to get up for school. Ah! Groan. Frustration, because we're not doing what we were made to do. Creation was not doing what it was made to do. And yet, in all of this, we read in verse 21, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, which means there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. We're not stuck here. Hallelujah. We're not stuck here. You're not stuck. You ought to tell someone near you, you're not stuck. Encourage them today. You're not stuck because we have a hope of liberation. God gave this hope to creation when he said to the serpent back in Genesis 3 that he will crush your head. Speaking of the Christ, he spoke hope to creation from the very beginning. From the moment that sin entered in, God said, I'm not going to leave it like this forever. He's going to crush your head, Satan. So creation groans. You see upheaval. You see destruction. You see drought. You see famine. You see trees falling on houses. Creation in upheaval. And it's intense. It's intense like childbirth. And listen, ladies, God bless you. You can do it. I can't. Don't ask me. I don't want to. You are strong. But those are intense pains, are they not? I watched my wife in labor twice. It was intense. It was painful. But on the other end of that was a blessing. And see, creation is groaning just like that. There's an end to it. And not only does creation groan, but we groan. Right? We're all going to do groaning practice. Ready? One, two, three, groan. That's pretty good. You are clearly experienced in groaning. That's very good. That's awesome. We groan. The presence, and here's the thing. Why do we groan? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in us that causes that groan. You see, if we didn't have hope, if we didn't have the Spirit, if God didn't put a deposit in us, the little slice of heaven in us, we would have no reason to groan. Our groaning would be, in other words, we would be dead. We would be zombies. Zombies don't groan because they have no hope. They're dead. We, however, have a hope. And when you can see it, when it's right there, I'm telling you, it feels just like you're on I-84 in the middle of Waterbury. You're so close to home. And you're sitting in traffic. You know that if the traffic wasn't there, you'd be home in 2 minutes. Oh, but you're sitting in the middle of traffic, and nothing's moving, and it's hot out, and it's sticky, and the kids are crying in the back seat, and you just start to groan to yourself, oh, I just want to be home. I know this feeling. But that's the good, because you see, there's hope. You wouldn't groan if you didn't have hope. You wouldn't groan if you didn't have hope. I have hope that I'm going to get there. I have hope that I'm going to be home pretty soon. Put on my stretchy pants and my slippers, you know? I'm at home. We groan because we have hope. And we groan because that hope comes from the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit. The first fruits of the Spirit He gives us as an initial taste of what our ultimate redemption will be like. And it causes us to yearn for it. Oh, give me a little bit. I want a little bit more. The presence of the Holy Spirit is also the guarantee of the harvest that's to come. That God will finish what He started. Amen. That gives us hope. So creation groans. We groan. But we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently, and in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with what? That can't even be uttered. Groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The groaning of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. It's not just a guarantee of the things that are to come, but it's also a participant in our present life. He's not just there to look at like a shiny coin and say, oh, someday I'm going to get more of this. Uh-uh. He's also an active member of who you are. Or He needs to be. He helps us, the Bible says, in our weakness. He intercedes for us with groans that cannot be uttered. And this is the importance of that statement, okay? How many of you have gone to pray? You go to a prayer meeting, or you're at home or something, you just know you need to pray, right? Oh, I need to pray. And you get on your knees and everything, you get everything right, and you look up to heaven, and you have no idea how to pray for this. Have you been there? God, this situation I'm looking at is so messed up. I don't know which thread to pull first. This, I don't know where to start. God, this is beyond me. Now, if you're going to pray, let me give you a hint for prayer. If you're going to pray, you need to pray according to the will of God. Okay? Because God is not a cosmic candy machine, right? You don't just say, God, I pray for $1 million. Okay? That's not how it works. We pray according to the will of God. And so if it's God's will that I have $1 million, then I'll pray for it. But I need to know what his will is. I need to pray according to his will. The problem is, in the midst of our walking through life, in the midst of our stubbing our toes and hitting our thumbs with hammers, in the midst of the attacks that Satan brings against us, in the midst of the suffering that we all walk through and we all anticipate and go through, there are moments where we get so discouraged and so down and so confused, we cannot even know the will of God. And it's at that moment the Holy Spirit in you becomes a participant in your spiritual life. It's at that moment where you can say, Spirit of God, I need to connect with you right now. And I need you to groan for me. I need you, Holy Spirit, to express things that my natural mind and my natural heart is not able to express. Holy Spirit, I need you to connect me with a Father above and to connect his will to mine. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. That's a groaning of the Holy Spirit. And folks, can I just encourage you today that I don't know, you know, we all go through stuff. You know, this I can preach this sermon anywhere in the country. It's going to, you know, people will get it because we all go through stuff. But I want you to understand that whatever hardship you go through, whether it's man-made or spirit-made, whatever hardship you go through, you have a source. You are not alone. You have not been left out in the cold. You've not been forgotten. God has not left you. But he's left a deposit in you. And you can go there. You can go there. And you can say, Father, I don't get it. I feel mad. I feel angry. I feel like a brat. I feel discouraged. I feel all these things, Lord. But what I want above all is your will. If you can pray that, if you can do that, then the Holy Spirit will carry you the rest of the way. He will carry you. I promise you, he will carry you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to pray right now for my friends here at Wolcott. Lord, as we all deal with life and deal with stuff, sometimes it's stuff that we really can deal with. Sometimes it's easy things that can roll off our back. But sometimes, Lord, it's things that knock us off our feet. Sometimes it's a punch to the gut. Sometimes, Lord, it takes the air out of everything. Lord, we have your Spirit. Oh, and I thank you for that Spirit. I thank you for your Holy Spirit living and breathing inside of me. And Lord, I just pray for my friends right now that if any here are going through that difficult time, if any here, Lord, have been thrown for a loop, if any here, Lord, are searching for you, in the midst of the darkness around them, Lord, I pray that you would activate the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, that you would bring to life the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Father, that we may groan and reach and find you. And that, Lord, you may take all of this darkness around us, all of the evil that has been intended for us, and, Lord, turn it around for our good. Jesus, that is our faith. That's our faith right there. That no matter what happens, Lord, you are good. And you're going to make it for our good. Thank you for that great hope this morning. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.